And I just want to read one verse quickly from Song of Solomon, chapter number 5, verse 16. The Bible says, "His mouth is most sweet, yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend." And what I want to preach about briefly here is the subject of friendship. And according to the Bible here in Song of Solomon, chapter 5, one of the dimensions of being married is that marriage is a friendship, right? Because here she's referring to her husband as her friend, right? And the Bible talks a lot about friendship. And the things I'm going to go over from the Word of God here obviously could apply to any type of friendship, but they certainly apply within marriage as well. And if you want to flip over to Proverbs, that's where we're going to be for most of this, Proverbs chapter 27, if you happen to be there. But first of all, I want to point out that number one, friends are people that we enjoy life with. Friends are people that we share the experiences of life with. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 27:9, "Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel." So the Bible compares the sweetness of friendship, spending time with friends, to ointment and perfume, the beautiful things in life. And so the Bible is showing us that friends are something that we enjoy. We share life with them. It's not necessarily that we're always trying to do something for them or get something from them. No, we're just sharing life with them and enjoying friendship. And of course, in marriage, that's the greatest friendship, God willing, that you'll ever have. And you can enjoy that companionship that comes with being married. You know, the Bible also says in Acts chapter 27 about the Apostle Paul, it says that Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. So just by Paul going and spending some time with his friends, that was refreshing to him. So that's what friendship is. And I put that point first because I think that's what it primarily is. You know, it's something that's refreshing. It's something that we enjoy. Secondly, a friend is someone who's there for us when we need them, okay? Proverbs chapter 27, if you're still there, verse 10 says, "Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not, neither go into thy brother's house in the day of thy calamity, for better is a neighbor that is near than a brother far off." So here the Bible's describing your friend as someone that you rely upon when you're in a bind, someone who's always there for you. And, of course, the famous verse in Proverbs 18:24 says, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." The Bible also says in chapter 17, verse 17, "A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." So a friend is someone who's there when we need them. You know, if we get in a bind, if things go bad in our life, and all of a sudden our friends are bailing on us, or the second that we do something they don't like, they bail on us, you know, that's not a real friend, is it? We call that a fair weather friend, or a fake friend, or a false friend. Because a real friend is someone who sticks with you through good times and bad. They're not just there when things are going good. They're there when things get bad and get ugly. And you know what? When you're married, that's a lifelong commitment. So if there's any friendship where it's important to be there for that friend at all times, it's marriage, okay? You're going to go through things, and that's why the vows talk about sickness as in health, poverty as in wealth. There are going to be low points and high points, but friendship is that relationship that stays through those things and survives those things. And so, of course, marriage needs to be that as well. So we said, first of all, friends are people that we share life with, people that we enjoy. Number two, the friend is one who's there for us when we need them. But number three, friends don't expect us to be perfect, and they accept us for who we are, okay? Now, if you would flip over to 2 Timothy chapter number 1, if you happen to have your Bible here, 2 Timothy chapter number 1. Friends don't expect us to be perfect. Friends are people who love us in spite of our faults. And if anybody knows your faults, it's your spouse, because they live with you. They see you every day. And if anybody knows that you're not perfect, it's your spouse. You know, I always wonder sometimes when I hear these preachers who teach this false doctrine of sinless perfection. And I wonder, like, what does their wife think? Or what do their kids think about this goofball doctrine that they're teaching? Because they must know that they're not perfect, being around them that much. How could they hide every possible sin that they ever commit or every mistake that they ever made? It's ridiculous, right? When you are married, you get to know someone closely, you're going to see their faults. But you know what? A friend is someone who loves us in spite of our faults. And friendship is not this thing of, well, I'll be your friend as long as you're changing to become more what I want you to be. And it's, you know, if you don't do things the way I like, then this friendship's over. Okay, that's not friendship, is it? Friendship looks at somebody and says, you know what? This person has a lot of great attributes. This person has some flaws, but you know what? I love them anyway. I want to share life with them. I want to enjoy them. I'm going to be there when they need me. That's what friendship is, right? It doesn't expect people to be perfect. Look down, if you would, if you're there, in 2 Timothy, where I had you turn, verse 15 of chapter 1. It says, "This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes." So the Apostle Paul had a whole bunch of friends bail on him. I mean, Asia was his bread and butter. If you read the book of Acts, I mean, that's where he was having the most friends. I mean, remember all those elders from Ephesus that were crying and, oh, we can't believe you're leaving us. And, you know, I mean, he had a lot of friends in Asia, but here he talks about a lot of people bailing on him, right? But then he brings up a good friend that actually stuck with him. It says in verse 16, "The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me." So again, we get that aspect of friends refreshing us. "He oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain." So we see the friend is one who refreshes us, yes. They're there for us when we need them, and they're not ashamed of our chain. Meaning that when we become a liability to them, you know what? They don't just say, well, I'm out of here. This guy's no longer benefiting me. This woman's no longer benefiting me. She's just, you know, a drag on me. I mean, look, Paul is not going to be able to do a lot for Onesiphorus while he's in jail. But Onesiphorus was there for him, visited him, refreshed him, and he wasn't ashamed of his chain, you know. And guess what? Everybody has a chain, don't they? Every single man, woman, boy, and girl has something negative in their life or about their life or about them. But our friends are the ones who are not ashamed of our chain, and they will be there for us. So he said, you know, Onesiphorus was not ashamed of my chain. When he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. And then fourthly, and this is kind of a counterpoint to point three, is that our friends make us a better person, or they should make us a better person. The Bible says in Proverbs 27:17, "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of our friend." So here's the thing. Obviously, we want to make our friends better people, and we want our friends to make us better people, right? And, you know, the Bible talks about Christ loving the church, nourishing and cherishing it, and it also talks about Christ washing the church with the water of the word, okay? And obviously the husband has a role of being a spiritual leader, and he's guiding, he's teaching the word of God. And, you know, just in my own experience, I've been married for almost 20 years now, and I've taught my wife many things, but my wife has also taught me many things. You know, you learn from each other, and you grow together, you sharpen each other. Iron sharpeneth iron, so does a man sharpen the countenance of his friend. But how this balances out with point number three is that, you know, yeah, we want to try to help people be better, and we want them to help us be better, but you know what? Even if they don't get better, we still love them anyway, because they're our friend. You see how those two things kind of balance each other out. We still accept our friend for who they are. We want to help them, but you know what? We're there for them no matter what. And so that's the beautiful thing about friendship. And then the last point that I want to bring up is that friendship is a very strong relationship. It should be a strong bond. Listen to the words of Jesus in John chapter 15. "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." So when God actually wants to talk about the ultimate love, greater love hath no man than this, he actually points to friendship and says, greater love has no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. So I want to encourage you, Sean and Chantel, today that, you know, as you enter marriage, let this be an aspect of your marriage. friendship, right? And these points that are obviously universal to all friends, apply these to your marriage. And obviously marriage is more than just friendship. You know, you don't want to be in the friend zone. That's why you're here. It's because you're not in the friend zone, all right? So here's the thing. You know, obviously marriage is more than friendship, but it is friendship also, isn't it? And it should be. And so we want to take these components of friendship and let this be an important dimension of your marriage so that you can have the great love and enjoy the great love within marriage that is contained in friendship itself.